This is the tour in Siman Taf Lamed, Shabbat Shelefnei HaPesach, Korin Oto Shabbat HaGadol. This is very appropriate because today is Erev Shabbat, tomorrow is Shabbat, we call it Shabbat HaGadol. Now the Shabbat, mind you, is not any longer than any other Shabbat. It's the same 25 hours, no matter how you split it. But nonetheless, they call it Shabbat HaGadol.
Gadol is not longer, it's bigger.
It's not bigger either. I mean, what makes it bigger? It's the same Shabbat. So the Tur says, Ve'ata'am, lefi shena'asa bo nes gadol. So it's Shabbat shel nes gadol. The Gadol is going on the nes. Now, what was the nes that happened over here? Shebepesach Mitzrayim mekho be'asor. In Egypt, that's Pesach Mitzrayim, when we were in Egypt. So on the 10th day of Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to take a Korban Pesach. Kedichtiv, be'asor lachodesh hazeh, v'yikhu lehem ish se lebet abot, se labayit. So that was on the 10th of Nisan. Upesach shiyatzu Yisrael mimitzrayim haya b'yom hamishi. That year when we came out of Egypt, we left on a Thursday. So if we left on a Thursday, that means Thursday was the 15th. Go backwards, that means the 10th was Sunday. So therefore, when it says that we took the Korban Pesach, we took it on the 10th. Kedita b'seder olam. V'nimsa, now do the math again, Elliot. V'nimsa, sh'asara b'chodesh, hi Shabbat. Because if your Thursday is the 15th, that means the 10th is going to be Shabbat. It's just the way you calculate that would be is Shabbat is the 10th, Sunday is the 11th, Monday is the 12th, Tuesday is the 13th, Wednesday is the 14th, and Thursday is the 15th. That's the way you would figure it out. So therefore, on Shabbat, they were commanded to take a Korban Pesach. V'lakhu lahem kol echad seh lepesho. Everybody took one. V'kashru oto b'kar'e mitato. And they tied it to their bedposts. V'sha'alum ha-mitzriyim, lama zeh lachem? The Egyptians asked them, what are you doing? What are you taking here? Veshivum l'shachato l'shem Pesach. They told them outright, we're taking this l'shem Pesach. B'mitzvat l'shem aleinu. Like God told us. V'ayu shineim kehot. Their teeth were chattering. Al sheshuchatim et Eloheim. Because we were slaughtering their God. ולא היו רשאים לומר להם דבר, and they couldn't answer. ועל שם אותו הנס קוראים אותו שבת הגדול. Tonight, you know what we're celebrating tomorrow?
The miracle is that they didn't kill them, that they didn't rebel.
The miracle is that we told them what we're doing with it. And they knew that we're going to slaughter their God.
And they accepted it.
ולא היו רשאים לומר להם דבר, they couldn't answer. I don't know why they couldn't answer.
Miracle, huh?
Why not? Why couldn't they tell them, what are you doing? What's the big idea? And second of all, they weren't slaughtering Elohim, they were slaughtering the sheep. Jews always ate meat. This is not the first time where the Jews were vegetarians in Egypt. The Egyptians knew that we ate meat, we were shepherds. That's why they put us in Goshen. So all of a sudden, when it's the first time they saw a Jew eating meat, and they came along and said, "Ah, shu'atim et Elohim. Why shu'atim et Elohim? We're eating meat like we ate meat for 210 years in Egypt. We weren't vegetarians in Egypt, Abu Tai.
Maybe a slave.
Huh?
As slaves, they were eating fish.
Fish? What are you saying exactly? So that means they only ate fish, you mean? That was the only thing on the menu. I don't understand what you're saying. You tell me that they didn't eat meat in Mitzrayim. Okay, you have a source for that? I mean, I have a source that they ate meat in Mitzrayim. So if that's the case, so what are they making a big deal of it? The rabbi called the Gaon Bach. ומה שכתב היו שיניהם כאות אשר שוחטים את אלוהיהם. קשה. ללמה היו שיניהם כאות עכשיו ביותר? Why now more so? וכי לא היו המסים יודעים שישראל שוחטים ואוכלים אלים וכבשים בכל יום ויום? They ate every day. כבשים and אלים. But the Egyptians, they didn't know that we're eating meat. They know we slaughter animals all day long. ונראה שישראל הודיעו למצרים, they told the Egyptians, שמצוות השם אנו לשחטו למטה, כי בזה ישחט גם למעלה. Which means the Zohar Kadosh says that the God of the Egyptians had a power in the heavens. What we were saying is, we're going to slaughter this korban on earth, and it's going to cut the cord of the Avodah Zarah in the Shamayim. That we're going to cut it in its roots. That this wasn't just eating meat. Normally when we slaughtered meat, it's a big deal. You slaughter the meat, they eat meat. Jews eat meat, big deal. That has nothing to do with our God. Here they were saying that there's going to be a double action that's going to take place over here. The action of slaughtering the Korban on earth is going to actually slaughter the Avodah Zarah in the Shamayim. וזה על ששחטו את אלוהיהם. The lashon of the tour is that they asked them, what are you doing with this? So he says, the teeth were chattering, על ששוחטים את אלוהיהם. מה זה את אלוהיהם? It should say, ששוחטים אלוהיהם. Anytime it says the word את, את is לרבות. Says the Bach, וזה על שנו את אלוהיהם. דעת מרבה גם אלוהיהם למעלה. Understand? That not only are they destroying the Elohim, the symbol of that God on earth, but את לרבות, את אלוהיהם. They're going to destroy the God of the Egyptians למעלה.
So what, they announced it to them?
Yes. Yeah, that's the whole point. They told them that this is a double slaughter over here. This is a slaughter of את אלוהיהם. Not only the image on earth didn't bother them because they're slaughtering all day long. But once they told them that by doing this at this moment, it's going to cut the electricity off the Avodah Zarah and the Kohot and the Shamayim. So therefore, you're out of business. It's going to be a death sentence to the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians. Because even the Avodah Zarah knows this had power. It was Kohot. Ve'od mashma, et Elohehem, של ישראל. It says, אל ששוחטים את אלוהיהם, that the Egyptians' teeth were shattering, that they saw that the Jews were slaughtering their God. את אלוהיהם, not the God of the Egyptians, the God of the Jews. Why? כי רובם של ישראל עבדו עבודה זרה. The majority of the Jews in that time worshipped עבודה זרה. So it was just as much as the God of the Jews as much the God of the Egyptians. כדברי רזל, משיכו ידיכם, it says, pull your hands away from עבודה זרה. ועל כן הוא שניהם כאות, כי עד עתה עבדו לו. Till now the Egyptians, they were comforted, the Jews are worshipping the same עבודה זרה as them. ועכשיו שוחטים את אלוהיהם של עצמם למטה. If the Jews are going to slaughter it למטה, כי בזה ישחט למעלה. If an Egyptian wants to mevatel the Avodah Zarah, it's not going to mevatel. But when the Jew... That's right. Same thing. When the Jew does it lemata, the Jew has an action that affects the upper worlds. When the Jew does something, it moves the world. When a goy does something, it has no koah. So when the Jew is going to slaughter the Avodah Zarah lemata, it's going to be pu'el. Like the Baal Shem Tov said on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Da ma lemala memach. You have to know what's above you, God. The Baal Shem Tov read it like this: Da ma lemala. If you want to know what's going on in heaven, who controls it? Memach. You control it. Your actions create what's going on in heaven. Da ma lemala. If you want to know who's controlling what's lemala, memach from your actions. Fine. So that is the Bach. The Bach answered a few questions. He answered the first question. Why the Egyptians recognized at this point Al Shochatim et Elohim. That's the way he explains it. But he does not explain it to us why they had to take it 4 days early. Why do you have to take it 4 days early? You're not slaughtering it until Thursday. Wednesday night. So therefore, take it Wednesday morning. Why do you have to take it 4 days, 4 days prior? So
it's really 5 days,
right? 4 days and you slaughter it on the fifth day. So why do you have to do that? We have to appreciate the Mesirut Nefesh of the Jewish people that were still slaves in Egypt. And they couldn't leave, obviously. If they could have left, they would have left. They weren't yet released. So they were still slaves under the thumb of the Egyptians. You see, even when we left, they chased us. So we weren't out till we were out. So for them to come along and for these 4 days, a day ago they were worshipping the same Avodah Zarah as the Egyptians. For them to come along and to live 4 days with such Mesirut Nefesh, with such a self-sacrifice, which is mamash, you're willing to die for this. Because the Egyptians any second could come along and kill them. You're right, the first moment they were scared. But for 4 days they were living like this. Maybe the fear wears off and they'll come and kill the Jews. It would have been easy for them to take it Wednesday afternoon, 2 minutes before sunset, before the Egyptians could know about it. They slaughtered it and it's over. But to keep it for 4 days, they were going through a process of denouncing the Avodah Zarah. It was a tremendous tikkun for the soul.
Who gave the order to do it, Moshe?
Yeah, Moshe from God. So, the Mefarshim explain the depth over here, what was happening. The Jewish people were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. That's the original decree. It's supposed to be 430.
Not 400?
There's one pasuk that says 400, and there's one pasuk that says 430. And we only know that they stayed there for 210. So you can have to reconcile all these numbers. We know that the Avodat Parech was only for 86 years. That's the Midrash writes. The Avodat Parech started when Miriam was born. That's why her name was Miriam, Belachon Maror. So the Maror began when she was born. Until from Miriam was born till we left is 86 years. That was the Avodat Parech, the backbreaking labor. So really, it was one-fifth of what it was supposed to be. Because 86 times 5 is 430. So instead of having 430 years Avodat Parech, which it said, Va'abadum ve'innu, it wasn't. We got off the hook. That's why we have the custom. It's not a custom, it's a halakha, to be more precise, that on Leil Pesach, we drink 4 kosot. And we make a lechaim on 4 kosot. Why? Because we're representing the 4/5 of the shi'bud that was forgiven. You understand what we just said? And if you take the numerical value of the word kos, kos equals 86. So therefore, each kos we're commemorating Minus 86. So 86 times 4.
344.
That's 344, which is the deduction that we got from the Avodat Parech. It's cost times 4. Cost times 4 is 86 times 4. We should have been in Egypt 430 years of Avodat Parech. 344 plus 86 is 430. We only had 86. The question is, What happened to that 4/5? How did we overcome it? And why would we have to stay so long? The Gemara says, based on the pasuk in the Torah, of course, that Mitzrayim is called Kur HaBarzel. Kur HaBarzel, you know what a Kur is? Kur is an oven, like a kiln, a hot oven, and they put the metal in that oven to purify it. Because the metal has impurities. And when they put the metal in the oven, all the dregs of the metal, you saw it. Ibiliyahu was, where were you? On one of your trips. In Syria, you saw it. He had one. He showed me the picture of it.
Really?
Yeah. In the jewelry, they use it. So they put the metal in, and it takes out all the impurities. So Egypt, in a mashal, of course, was like a big oven. And who was the metal? Us. And they put us into this kiln, and the avodah got rid of all the, you know, the impurities that we had. The impurities of the 49th level, that was superficial. That was easy to get off the 49. We needed 49 days before Matan Torah, we can get that off. But the real tum'ah that was inside of us, the avodah zara and the avodah tarikh, I mean, was able to get rid of. That's called Kun and Barzel. Now, why would we call that Barzel? Why not Kur Zahav? Why not Kur Hakesef? Why are the Jewish people compared to Barzel? We don't usually compare us to Barzel.
It's iron.
It's iron. So the explanation is because the Jewish people are the 12 Shevatim, and we come from four mothers. The four mothers are the wives of Rachel Imenu, are the wives of Yaakov Abinu. The wives of Yaakov are Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, which is Rashet Tevot Barzel. Barzel is Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah. So therefore, the Barzel is a remez to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael went into the fire. How are we going to say Klal Yisrael went into the fire? What a Barzel. The Barzel went in, meaning the children of Barzel. And when we came out, we were purified. But it takes 430 years. You know, you have to put the timer on. You cannot rush the process. They didn't have microwaves in those days. So when you put it in the oven, how long is it going to take to fix this Barzel? You do the math, 430 years. All of a sudden, at 86 years, the timer went off. It's ready. I got to be ready. The answer is, it wasn't ready. So it wasn't ready, so how do we leave? So the Hachamim say something incredible. That Borei Olam said, we need to expedite this process over here. Because if they're going to stay a little longer in this place, they're never going to get out, but it's a catch-27. They can't leave before they purge themselves. Because once you leave the oven, you left the oven. But if you stay in the oven another second, you're going to get hit from a different toxin that's going to keep you there forever. So what are we going to do over here now? You understand the dilemma that we're in? So Borei Olam says, we're going to now do what we call expedite. You know expedite? Expedite means you get the passport in one day. If you do it the regular system, it takes the passport for 6 weeks till you get it. But then if a guy says, I need my passport tomorrow, so you pay a little money, and you pay a little extra, the guy even delivers it to your house. And he gives you a nice case with it, and he gives you his card, call me anytime, it's my pleasure, because you paid him a lot of money. It shows you it's a scam. Technically, you can get a passport in one day. There's no reason why it should take 6 weeks. Anybody can get it in one day. But they have to create a service, so a guy can make a parnasa. So therefore, they tell you, you want to be a regular bourgeoisie? 6 weeks. You want to be a hashuv guy? One day. Now, we need it to expedite. Not because we're hashuv. Because if we're not going to get expedited, we're not going to leave. So Hashem said, they need mesirut nefesh here. The Arizal says, when you do mesirut nefesh brings the person to the highest madrigot. Did you ever hear a saying that they say that if somebody dies on mesirut nefesh, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So he goes straight to Gan Eden. He doesn't even go.
Even
the worst guy. Mesirut Nefesh breaks all the chitzonim, breaks all the kelipot. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys, the sacrifice of the tzaddikim. Especially when they sacrifice to the extent where they can give their lives up for God. So God tells them on the Shabbat before the Korban Pesach, go take the Korban Pesach. That day they took the Korban Pesach. They said, when are we slaughtering it? Tonight? No. 4 days from now. Borei Olam says, for 4 days they have to live b'mesirut nefesh. Those 4 days, each day was corresponding 86 years. Each day that they live with that Korban Pesach tied to their bed, and the Egyptians are threatening them, and we're going to kill you, and they don't know if they're going to change their mind, the Egyptians. Today their teeth are shattering. Tomorrow they can kill you. All you need is one Mishnun. And like, you know, in today, you need one Mishnun terrorist to come in and blow the place up, and that's it. You need one. All you need is one crazy guy to go around with a sledgehammer and kill people. So they live, and then they go to sleep at night. How do you sleep at night knowing that the Egyptians could come into your house at any moment and kill you? The Egyptians are the Nazis. So even though the Nazis got caught off guard on the first day, what do you think? The SS doesn't have ability to break your door down? What do you think they did on the night of Kristallnacht? Kristallnacht, they came in with their guns, they knocked on the door, they didn't answer. Boom, they knocked the door down. Well, they say, oh, they don't want to answer, we'll go to the next guy. They don't have anything.
You don't even need the whole group, you need one measure.
That's what I'm saying, you need one guy. Now, how do you sleep that night?
You don't.
How do you go to sleep? And what kind of locks did they have on their doors? What kind of locks they had? That security, that the camera, that the emergency button, you put the panic button and the guy comes from the police department of Shomrim. Everybody's in the same boat. And every house has a sheep tied to their bedpost. And the Egyptians are going crazy. And they, according to the Bach, they're going crazy because they know if this thing gets slaughtered, their God's out of business in Shamayim. So it was a serious thing. How do you go to sleep at night? How do you function? How do you... Doing nothing. The Jewish people was happy. They were relaxed. They were calm. And they said, we're willing to die. We're willing to die if we have to. But we're not doing Avodah Zarah anymore. We're not going to do Avodah Zarah. If that's what it means. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that. Kiddusha of Mesirut Nefesh. That they lived for those 4 days. Each day was able to deduct 86 years. Of the, so this is the VIP line over here now.
Each day is like a lifetime.
Exactly. That's why it's 4 days. The 4 days were necessary. You couldn't get this passport overnight. The minimum time you can register for this passport, it takes 4 days to expedite it. By the time Leil Pesach came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he looks at the oven time, it says 4:30. Well, I can say 4:30. It's only 86. These 4 days, every day passed, another 86 years was added to the clock. So there were, this week that we're talking about, that was a tremendously high week of Klal Yisrael purging themselves and pure.
How did they change their mindset?
That was a Mesirut Nefesh, 100%. What's that? You have to give them credit also. You're right. It was tremendous. It's like a guy who's addicted to something, he stops overnight. It was a big Mesirut Nefesh for them. And willing to die, and there was nobody that did not join the group. I mean, normally you have some people saying, I'm out. I don't want to... No, they all were in. All Klal Yisrael accepted them. That's tremendous. Now, in order to understand the attraction of Avodah Zarah, it would be worth our while, Rabotai, to read the Rambam, Harambam. In the laws of Avodah Zarah, as a matter of fact, I would recommend it that you could read this to your family on the night of the Seder. You know, there's so much you could do, but this is a great, great piece of the Rambam. It's Hilchot Avodah Zarah, the laws of Avodah Zarah, right in the beginning. If you have a minute, we'll read it. It's a history of how Avodah Zarah Aleph. He gives you the history of how Avodah Zarah came about. Yimei Enosh. It starts from Enosh. Enoch. Ta'u b'nei ha'adam, ta'ut gedola. A big mistake they made. V'nev'eret atzat hakmei oto ador. And idea of the generation was foolish. Ve'enosh atzmo min ha'to'im. And Enosh himself, who was a big guy, was part of the mistake. What was the mistake? Amru, Ho'il ba'el barak kochavim, elu ve'galgalim elu lanhiget ha'olam. God created the gods. They believed in God. That wasn't a question. Who's not going to believe in God? The evolutionist is the only hamor tipesh that even the original idolaters, they believed in God. You got to be a tipesh not to believe in God. But they said, Ha'el bara ha'kochavim, God created the stars, the galgalim and the galaxies. La'anik et ha'olam, v'natanam l'marom, halak ben kavod. Obviously, God's giving kavod to these beings, entities. The sun is a tremendous thing, you cannot deny it. The moon, God's showcasing these entities center stage. Stars, they're lighting up the sky at night, and you see a meteor and a comet, and God's giving these center stage. The handsome machine, but everybody knew at the time they're servants of the king. This is not God. Nobody thought the star is God. They thought the star is a servant of God. But the uimim l'shambecham ul'fa'arab l'achlok tehem kavod. So the mistake was, you have to give kavod to them. If God is showing them so much kavod, so you also have to give them kavod. V'zeh l'son ha'el baruch hu, and that's what God wants. L'gadel v'l'chabed mi shigadlo v'chabedo. If the king is respecting that one, you have to respect them also. You respect the rule. Eved melech melech. The servant of the king is like the king. If the king is giving him the honor, so you have to honor them as well. Kemo shehamelech rotzeh lechabed abadav. Just like the king wants you to give kavod to his servants. Ve'omdim lefanav bezehu kevodo shel melech. What's the mistake? What's the mistake? So it doesn't sound like such a big mistake. Although the Rambam calls it ta'ud gedola v'nivaret. What's the mistake? Kiman she'ala davar ze alibam, they had this idea. Etchilu livnot lekochavim hechalot. They started to build to the stars. They built like shrines. Ulakrib lehem korbanot, and they were bringing korbanot to them. Ulshabeham ulfaram bedvarim, they started to praise them. Ulishtahavot, and to bow down to them. To fulfill God's will. Which means when they were bowing down to the star, he asked them, who's God? God is God. So what are you bowing down to the star for? Because God gives kavod to the star. I'm giving kavod to the one that God gives kavod to. What are you building a shrine for? If God gives you the kavod to the Eved, I'm going to give kavod to the Eved also. But who do you believe in? I believe in God. And you don't believe in the star? Chas v'shalom. The star is not God. And it's still a mistake they made. That's how Avodah Zarah began. It's a foreign service, which means they served God. Plus, the original people who knew how this started, they weren't saying that the God is the star. Everybody believed in one God, monotheism. They thought that that's the will of God, that you glorify His creations. Why? Because if God is giving the sun so much kavod and so much.
How do you give kavod?
Look outside. I mean, without the sun, you'd be sitting in the dark. Without the sun, it'd be 6,500 degrees below zero. You'd freeze to death. Obviously, God created the sun over here. Tremendous. At night, you look up at the sky, you see a moon. You don't see anything else. There's some stars. They say, listen, why is God giving this so much respect? Must be, for some reason, it's hashuf to him. So whatever's hashuf to the king is hashuf to us. What would happen over time? Came the false prophets. I have to make a panasa also. So the false prophets came. Ve'amru she'el tzivalem v'amar lehem evdu kochat ploni. And they came in the name of God and said that God said to serve the Tzar. O kol ha'kochavim, v'akrimu lo, and bring sacrifices to it, v'nasku lo, and wine the libations, u'binu lo hechal, and build for it a shrine, v'asu sunato, and make images of those things, k'den l'shtahavot lo, kol ha'am ha'nashim v'kitanim u'sh'ar ha'ma'ares, u'modi alehem tzura she'madab b'limo, and he gives some image, he makes up, v'omer zui tzuret u'chav ha'kloni. I don't know what the stars look like. They're not astronauts. They don't know what the stars look like. They didn't draw a star like they draw, in the pictures today, the hallmark. So the Navi said, this is what this star looks like. And he drew some image. You know, you can name a star if you want. That's $52. They'll name a star for you. And they'll register it in Washington, so everybody will know that that's your star. I'm a Libra Lion. That's the Nevi'ah Shekhar of today. And you got a bunch of Ama'aris that get all excited from this. They say, you have a star. Where's your star? They show you the coordinates. The guy's walking out with the coordinates of where his star is in Shemayim. And they'll never run out of product, because there's billions and billions of stars.
Yeah.
So they just keep on selling. Well, we know they sell the same star over and over again. There's going to be a lot of difference. It's unbelievable. But why? I don't know why. Let somebody sell the name of the moon. Why don't they get to that? Maybe the moon is somebody owns the name of the moon. They sell that. If you could sell a star for $52, the moon, you could sell for $52,000. Open up a business, Joe. We're going to name the sun and the moon.
Sure, you'll get a guy pay a few million.
You'll get a guy. The moon, yani the Elliot Braha moon. We'll change all the stationery now. Whenever we have a thing on the moon, the Elliot Braha moon. V'tchilu al derech rasot surot bechalot. They started making images. V'taf ilanot, worshiping trees. Mitkabetzim mishtahavim lehem ve'omrim lechol ha'am. They start to say shezu atzura metiva u'miri'a. Good and bad comes through this image.
So they really made it up, these guys.
Right? But they started to. They still believed in God. They still believed in God. They just said that through this image, God is bringing down the shefa or the opposite. Because the Nevi'ah Shekhar said, Sheha'el tziva lahem. They still couldn't deny God. God commanded us to do this. Because at this point, they were saying, you can't go direct. You need an intermediary to get to the boss. והקומרים אומרים, the priests came along and they said, שבעבודה זו תרבו ותצליחו. You know, do this and you'll have success. פנסה, bow backwards, do calisthenics forward, upside down, kiss it, put on a red string and you'll have a flaha. ועשו כך וכך, ואל תעשו כך וכך. They started to make a new, you know, heebie-jeebie out of it. Do this, do that, and how to get, they're making it up as they go. There's no, it's shaking all this. Or make believe. Now you see what's going on. It's slowly. There's a degeneration going on over here. It's decomposing. So every generation is going to get worse and worse and worse until they're going to say the star's gone. They're not up to that yet. V'itchilu kozvim aharim. More kazabim came. La'amod v'lomar shakochav atzmo, the star itself. Wamanach or the bed in Mahim spoke to them. Ramad Em Abduni Bekach Bekach. And the star told me how to serve it. Serve me like this. Everybody's making up stuff. Everybody needs a panasa again. Upashut the bar say becholam avod it tasurot, avod mishonot, lakrib them shtavod lahem. But they still believe in God. But now you see one guy clapping, another guy's banging the head. What are you doing? What do you mean? Don't you know the star came to this priest last night and said, if you clap three times and you skip and you jump and you do all this stuff over here, and you read this pesukim backwards and forwards, you'll have good luck for the next 100 years. See, everybody, oh, the sigula of the day, oh, coming to jump into the star, don't have it, don't to the star. Who told you this? But the Kumar. How much did it cost you? He said, we have to give him $18,000 for the, because they're building a new shrine. It was a business. What happened there? Now you ask anybody at this time, who's God? One God, Hashem Shemayim. But as time went on, Nishtaka Hashem Anichbad Bahanura Vipikola Yikum Umidatam Velo Kiruhu. They forgot God. And now all of a sudden everybody thought that the star is the God. Vinimsa Kola Ma'ar Venashiva Kitanim. They just know the rock and the stone. And the shrine that they built. They were trained from when they were young. These priests that were around. There you go. Then the priest started to say, that's the God itself. About Surah Olamim, the creator of the world, Lo Haya Sham Makiro. Nobody knew it. Could you believe what happened? They forgot about God. Velo Yod'o, Ela Yechidim Ba'olam. A few individuals. And Abam gives you the individuals who were still in the know. Kigon Hanoch, Metushelah, Noah, Shem Be'ever. But besides that, Hefem and Yan, the rest of the world, chaos in the belief that there's no God but the image. Now, what all this started from what Rambam calls Ta'ud Gedola, a great mistake. Now, what was the mistake? Why should they have known better? What was the matter with giving kavod? No, what was the matter with giving kavod to the servant of God? If God is giving him kavod, what was the problem? The mistake was as follows. Let's say the servant of the king walks in and he says, somebody whispers in here, says, you see that guy? That's the king's right-hand man. I'm sure somebody in the class over here will run downstairs and get him a cup of coffee. The good coffee. And you tell him, come sit with us, come sit with us. We'll give him a seat at the front table over here. Give him kavod, set him up, give him a thing, give him a drink, give him a PB, give him everything. But who's this guy? Who's this guy? The right hand to the king. It's the right hand man to the king. Not because we want something out of him. The kavod to the king. The man's a hashuv guy. Beautiful. Anybody would not do that?
Anybody.
Okay. Now let's say the king walks in with the guy. They walk in together. And you run to the Ibid and say, come, sit. The king is standing there. What do you mean? The king respects this guy. Just put him over there. The king says, hey, I'm over here. Wait, stay over there. Get him a coffee, set him up, give him a... The king's standing over there. Hold it. You're giving kavod to the Ibid, it's fine. Not in front of me. But in front of me, the Ibid's worthless. Their mistake was that God is all over the world. You don't give kavod to the servant in front of the king. By giving kavod to the son, it's a disrespect to the king. God says, I'm here. You're giving kavod to the son. What are you worshiping the son for? I'm here. Hypothetically, if God would remove himself, which could never happen, then give kavod to the son. But that could never happen. Understand the mistake? The big mistake. They didn't think it. They didn't think it through. Now the Rambam starts an amazing story. Until the pillar of the world, look at the language, Amud Olam Shehu Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom. The world was falling into chaos for 10 generations. Actually, for 20 generations, from Adam, Enosh, is generation number 2. So from Adam, Enosh, till you get to Abraham already, by the time Abraham came into the world, darkness, Hoshech Afela.
But wasn't Noah and all those guys you mentioned?
They were after, exceptions, I mean.
But they were after Abraham.
No, they were before.
All before.
All after Abraham. After Abraham. But the point is, the flood happened in Parashat Noah.
The tower.
That's part of the degradation. That's in generation early, before Abraham. That's part of the decline. They believed God in the world, but we got to kill him. Then after a certain, at least they believed in God. Those guys, you're right. At least that was something. But by the time Abraham came, the guy says, "Who's God? I don't know. We bow to this rock. What does the rock represent? It represents good luck, bad luck. Who created the world? The rock. Rock created the world. That's what my father did. My grandfather did it. 8 generations we're bowing to the rock. My mother said, if you need something, you rub the belly of the Buddha and you make a wish, you blow out the candles and you'll have good luck all day long. That's what they were doing. Who's God? God? We don't know who God is. Who's the creator? We don't know the creator. Nobody told us about the creator. They told us it's all about these magic tricks that we do. Look at this story. Kevan shenigmal etan zeh, Abraham is called etan. Etan is the strong. When he became weaned, etayil leshotet bedarto. Abraham was a thinker. He started to think. Vukatan. He was young. Velachshov bayom ubalayla. Day and night he's thinking. Vayetameya. He's wondering. Heach efshar shiye ha-galgal hazeh noeg tamid ve-lo yeh lo manhig. How is the galaxies working without a manager? How could it be that there's such an order in the world, but it doesn't have a manhig? There was a scientist called Newton.
Newton's theory.
Sir Isaac Newton. So Isaac Newton was a believer in God. Although the friends in the university with him did not believe in God. So Isaac Newton once made a model of the solar system. A small model with magnets. And through the energy from the magnets, it was spinning and turning and amazing thing. But to scale. When his friends came in and they saw it, they were impressed. They said, "Wow, Sir Isaac Newton, who made this?" He said, "My dog." He said, "Your dog? How can your dog make such a... It's so much design in this." So he says, "You fools, this is only a replica of the original. The original, you say, just happened by itself. If you cannot accept that a small replica happened by itself, how then do you say that the original happened by itself?" That's the way Newton, answered up his friends. And then they weren't his friends anymore, of course. That's how he lost his friends also. But the point is...
You believe in God?
Newton? Of course.
Jewish.
I don't know if he was Jewish. Newton was Jewish.
100%.
100%? Okay. I don't know his mother. I don't know Mrs. Newton. I think his mother was a Goldberg. His father was a Newton, but his mother was a Goldberg from the Goldbergs. Okay. Nonetheless, he definitely thought Jewish. So Avraham Avinu starts to think, how could the sun rise every day perfectly on time? Which means when you see Seder, order represents that there's a manager. Chaos represents nobody's running. When you go into a room and you see everything set in order, that means somebody must be doing it. If you go in and see bedlam, when you come into the house and you see the kitchen's upside down and the kids are playing around, the parents aren't home, so the kid can destroy it. When you come in and everything is in order, the mother's home, there's a manager here keeping everything in order. So what's more difficult? Keeping a kitchen in order, this whole world in order. Everything is going in its right place. Abraham was thinking of this day and night. He said, who's turning it? Who's spinning it? You can't turn itself. How does it know? How does it know exactly where to go? How does the sun know exactly to revolve itself and to go around the earth and come back exactly where it's supposed to every single day perfectly and so on? ולא היה לו מלמד, he didn't have a teacher, ולא מודיע, he didn't know where to go to, אלא מושקע באור כזדים. He lived in אור כזדים בין עובדי עבודה זרה הטפשים. הרמב"ם דרוזן, הטפשים. So, he's living with the עובדי עבודה זרה. It's not like he can go to a class or get advice or ask somebody or pick up a periodical in the bookstore. He's living in עבודה זרה land. ואביו ואמו וכל העם עובדים עבודה זרה. Now hold on to your seats for a second. והוא היה עובד עמהם. You did know it. מתחילה עובדי עבודה זרה היו אבותינו. Who's אבותינו? תרח זר אבותינו. מתחילה עובדי עבודה זרה היו אבותינו. אברהם אבינו was עובד. But the Rambam is very careful in his language. Oved imahem. Meaning he didn't have a philosophical attachment to the Avodah Zarah. Imahem. They're all doing it. That's all.
It was brought up in
exactly. That's what it was. It was mitzad imahem. Kids brought up. You're not born a monotheist. That's what everybody's doing. So he did it imahem. Understand? Bilibog mishotet. But he's doing it. He's saying, wait, that doesn't make any sense, this stuff here. הוא מבין עד שישיג דרך האמת until he reached what we call דרך האמת. והבין קו הצדק בדעתו הנכונה. His brain was amazing brain of him. He got to the truth. וידע שיש שם אלוה אחד. He came to the conclusion there's one God. והוא מנהיג על גלגל. והוא ברא הכל. ואין בכל המסע אלוה חוץ ממנו. He came to that truth. וידע שכל העם טועים, which is a big thing. The peer pressure is very strong. To come along and say they're all wrong, you have to be so confident in what you're doing. They're all wrong.
Especially your father.
Good, your father, your mother, everybody's wrong. You're the only one that knows anything? Listen, if somebody comes along and tells you, your name is not your name. They call you Bob. The guy doesn't talk about. My name is Eliyahu. What are you calling Bob for? Let's say 10 million people come and call you Bob. Is it going to change your opinion? You know your name is Eliyahu. But you know the mess is not going to affect you. You understand? There was a great rabbi called the Baal Shem in Michelstadt. When he was young, 7 years old, the king told him, "You're so smart, come to my palace. But I'm not telling you which room I'm in. There's 300 rooms in the palace. You come at 2 o'clock sharp." It's okay. He gets to the palace, 10 to 2. As you don't know where he is, he looks at the windows. He sees one of the windows, the blinds are open. He says, for sure the king is in that room. Not going to sit in the dark. He calculates, how do I get to that room? Up, left, right, up, left. Sure enough, 2 o'clock on the button, knock, knock. Who's there? Baal Shem in Melchizedek, 7-year-old kid. The king says, how did you know I was here? I saw the blinds were open. He says, am I wrong? I made a mistake. I gave it up. I want to ask you a question. You're so smart. Let's say I didn't put the blinds open. How are you going to find me? He says, I would have asked the security guy, where's the king? He says, let's say there were 2 security guards there. One guy said I was to the right. One guy said I was to the left. Then what would you have done? Ask a third guy. And whatever he tells me, I follow the majority. He says, what is this majority? That's the Torah says. You have to follow the majority. So he says, the majority is Christian. Now you have to follow the majority. This is what he's telling him as a... You just told me you follow majority. So the Baal Shem in Mechishtat says, now that I see where the king is, even if 1 million people would tell me you're somewhere else, I don't follow the majority on that. Majority, we only follow you when you have a doubt. If I didn't know where you are, I follow majority. He says, I don't have a question who God is. I know who God is. I don't have a doubt. Therefore, majority doesn't work in this case. He answered him on that also. So Abraham didn't have a doubt to follow the majority. Majority what? Ben 40 shana hikir Avraham et Purim. By 40 years old already, he had it clear. Kevan shehikir v'yada, once already he knew the religion good. Yitchil la'ashiv teshuvot al b'nei Ur Kasdim. He started to get into debates with the people of Ur Kasdim. He's walking around and he's preaching a new religion, or an old new religion. Ve'la'aruch din imahem, and he's, you know, debating them. Ve'lomar she'ev tederech ha'emet, you're not going the right way. She'dem olim ba. Ve'shavar et atziramim, he broke his father's. Abu Dazza, the famous story. Ve'tchil le'odi alam she'en ra'oi la'avod ela lo shamayim, only worship God. Ve'lo ra'oi l'shtahavot, and you only bow to God. Ve'la'kriv le'nasech, and only bring the sechim to God. Get rid of all this nonsense, all the rabbit's foots and the dice and the other things that they were worshipping. What happened? He was very convincing of Avraham Avinu. There's two ways you beat a person. Either you... What's the matter, Joe? Okay. Either you beat him in the debate, and if you can't beat him in the debate, you kill him. That's one way to get rid of your... So be careful when you're losing in a debate, run for your life, because the next move is they're going to kill you. Because if they can't answer you... So that's it, they can't answer you. So they're going to get rid of you. So they're going to kill you. That's when you know you won the debate. Once it starts getting violent, you know you won the debate. And the Kolel, once they start calling me names, when I'm trying to argue a point, I know I won the argument. That's it. They have nothing to say anymore. You're Tipesh, you're Hamor, call me all the names in the world. Finished. You have no substance anymore. Now you're trying to take me down. I won the argument already. Scream all you want. Next one to no one. Anyway, they wanted to kill him. Na'asal lo nes. Miracle. He got saved from the fires of Ur Kasdim. He got to Haran. V'tchil la'amod v'lekrot be'kol gadol l'chol ha'am. He started to broadcast. Ulo di'am she'yesh Elohu ha'echad l'chol ha'olam v'lo ra'o la'avod. V'ya melech. He was going from place to place. Missionary. Good missionary. Like it says in the book, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem, broadcasting the oneness of God. He opened up, he was reaching out, Kiruv Rehokim. V'kivan she'yu ha'am mitkabsim elav v'shu'alim lo'al devar, questioning. Hayam modia lechol echad v'at kefid da'ato. He answered everybody according to their level. The child asked him a question, he answered according to the child. Scholar. Until he brought him back to the emet. Ad shenitkabesu elav alafim v'revavot. Tens of thousands of students he had. V'em anshei bet Avraham. V'shatal b'libam ha'ikar ha'gadol hazeh. He planted in their hearts this ikar. V'chiber bo sefarim. He wrote books. We have the books of Avraham. Sefer Yisira. You can go to the store. Ask him, I want the book of Avraham Avinu. And he told it to Yitzhak. Whatever this truth was. V'yashav Yitzhak melamed u'mahzir. And Yitzhak did the same thing like his father. V'yitzhak hodiyo li Yaakov. U'minau l'lmod v'yashav melamed. And he did the same thing. Yaakov went around. U'mahzir kol nevim elav. You believe what's going on over here? V'Yaakov Abinu lamad banav kulam. Yaakov taught this to the Shevatim. See the Mesorah? V'ebdil Levi, he took the tribe of Levi, u'minau rosh, he made him the rosh yeshiva. V'oshivu b'yeshiva. L'lamed derech Hashem v'leshmor mitzvat Abraham. You keep the tradition, meaning primarily. Make sure your sons Make sure you take care of Shevet Levi, because they have the tradition. And B'nei Yaakov are getting strong, and they were bringing people. V'na'asit ba'olam umma. All of a sudden, you had a nation, Shehi yoda'at et Hashem. Can you believe what went on over here? The world came back to its original tikkun. It took 20 some odd generations from Adam to Noah, Noah to Abraham, and now Abraham to Yitzhak, Yitzhak to Yaakov, Yaakov to, and all of a sudden you had again a group of people that were different than everybody else. They stood out in their beliefs and their ways that they behaved, but at least you have a core. You have not one man in the, you have a family, which is it's a central group of people. It's a concentrated group of people. You ready to continue, or you had enough?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. So I shouldn't take you sleeping as you had enough. That just means...
A little cat.
Okay, fine. Ad she'archu hayamim liYisrael b'mitzrayim. Till they went down to Egypt. V'hazru l'lmod ma'asehim. And all of a sudden the clock started to go backwards. They started to learn from the Egyptians, who never were enlightened from this. The Egyptians are still in the Stone Ages, doing rocks and stones and animals and all that other nonsense. And now they're there. Of course, the first generation of Yaakov and his children, they laughed at these people, these crazy people who were a holy cow, worshipping the cow. But what happened? Over the course of time, all the old time has passed away. Right? All the old time has passed away. And you see millions of people doing it, and the guy in the university is also doing it, so he's a smart guy. And you see the rich guy who's a billionaire also doing it, he must be right because he's a billionaire, because he's a basketball player, makes $1 million a year, must be smart. So we have to ask him his opinion on the Middle East, because he makes it, because he knows how to do a layup on the basketball court, so he must have wisdom on the Middle East. Understand what I'm saying? V'hazru l'lmod ma'aseihem v'la'avod avodah zara kemotam. Look at this, they went right back. The kimaat kat haya. Kimaat kat means
almost.
You see the skin of your teeth. Kimaat kat means
a hair's breath.
A hair's breath, exactly. Kimaat kat. Va'ikar sheshatal Avraham ne'ikar. That root that Avraham planted was about to be uprooted. Planted seeds, grew a big tree. Now you're uprooting it. Few more seeds left. If you take the last two seeds that are in the ground, the tree will never grow again. That's what we were down to, the last seed. And now we start our story. You know when that day of Kim'at Kat was? Kim'at Kat was on the 10th day of Nisan. And on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is now do or die. You must pull yourselves away from the Avodah Zarah, Mishichu, Ukhu Lechem Son. The Bach, we just learned, it said the Jews were worshipping the sheep. The Jews fell into that Avodah Zarah. Mishichu, pull yourselves away and take the seh and slaughter it. And all of a sudden, something came into their brains on that day. Of course, under the influence of Moshe Rabbeinu, without a doubt, and Aharon and Tzaddikim, they didn't fall into this trap. But Rambam says Shevet Levi was always committed. But the 99% of the rest of the population fell. And all of a sudden, Klai Yisrael on that day committed themselves to go back to the old tradition. And all of a sudden, they're willing to not only go back to the tradition, they're willing to die for the tradition. And all of a sudden, that root that Avraham Avinu planted, when did it start to sprout again? For 10 generations in Egypt, it was dormant. Or 6 generations in Egypt, it was dormant. The tree of Avraham was wilting and wilting and wilting and wilting. And all of a sudden, on the 10th of Nisan, they watered the tree of Avraham. And now all of a sudden it starts to sprout. And for 4 days they lived with Mesirut Nefesh to die for God, no different than Abraham. That when Abraham Abinu saw the truth, he was willing to get thrown into the fires of Kazdim. He didn't care. And all of a sudden, was fulfilled the famous principle of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Debanim, that the stories of the father will always come out into the children. We came to the finish line almost, but the father, when he does the Avot, will come out into the children. There's a rabbi called the Sefer HaRokeiach. The Rokeiach calls the book of Shemot Sefer Sheni. Book number two. It's a very imaginative name. Book number two. He calls Bereshit, Bereshit. He calls Vayikra Sefer HaTorat Kohanim. He calls Bamidbar Sefer HaPikudim. He calls Devarim Mishne Torah. What, you couldn't make up a name for Shemot? Call it Sefer Geula, Sefer Shemot, book number two. An explanation is why he calls it book number two is because book number one is Bereshit, that's Ma'aseh Avot. And Ma'aseh Avot manifests itself in Banim, therefore Sefer Bereshit, the sequel of Sefer Bereshit is Shemot. It's book number two of Bereshit. Bereshit 1, Bereshit 2. Bereshit doesn't end in Bereshit. Bereshit is the Ma'aseh Avot. When did that Ma'aseh Avot come out into the children? Number two, sequel, 1A, 1B. Understand how he understands it? He didn't want to call it another name. He wanted you to know Bereshit is the potential and the realization of Sefer Bereshit is in Sefer Shemot. That's book number two of Bereshit. You understand what I'm saying? So in Bereshit, you have the story of Abraham Avinu, how he brought God back, and Klai Yisrael would go through that as a nation. They would go to Egypt. They would lose God. And it says, Afu Avad Imahim. Abraham worshipped with them. And the Jews did the same thing. The Afim Abdu Imahim with the Egyptians. And all of a sudden, at a certain moment, Kim'at Kat, that Ikat, Shatal Abraham was going to be lost. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's the moment, Ten Nisan, Mishichu Kru. And they did it. Now, the day that that happened was on a Shabbat. The day that that happened on Shabbat. There's an old halachic principle that says, "En Adam me'iz b'fnei ba'al chovo," which means a person does not deny something in front of the one that he owes it to. Today maybe, but in the olden days, at least the times of the Gemara, I don't think these umdinas change. We still follow these umdinas. Guy lent your money. Tell me, I don't know who you are. If a guy can say it to your face, I don't know your money's believed. Say, I don't have the money, I'll pay you later. Say, I don't owe you nothing, I don't know who you are. On that day when the Jewish people took the sheep, and the Bach says that they told them, we're slaughtering it down here and we're slaughtering it up here. It was Shabbat. The Gemara says that an Ama'aris will not lie on Shabbat. Yerushalmi says that. Now Ama'aris lies all week. That's all they do is lie. On Shabbat, they don't lie. I once heard a lady in the community. She was telling a story. So somebody said, ah, come on. Would I lie on Shabbat today? Would I lie on Shabbat? Intuitively, they have a... What's the explanation? Shabbat, you're in front of God. In Adam Me'iz b'fnei Baal Chovo, in front of God, and the Shabbat is the Emet day. Shabbat is where you sense the truth of God, whether you feel it consciously or subconsciously. There's something there on Shabbat.
They say also, Ashur today Shabbat.
Right, Ashur today Shabbat. So therefore, on Shabbat, guy's not going to lie. Shabbat is the day of Emet. On that day that the Jewish people took the sheep, it was Shabbat. And when the Egyptians saw the commitment between the day of Shabbat and the fact that they're willing to risk their lives, at that moment, that's like a debate of Avraham Avinu. They were so committed. The Egyptians said, well, they believe this. They know we can kill some Nazi. They know we have a gun. I'll blow your head off. You're not afraid? The emunah that Klai Yisrael was so strong that the Tur's language is, as I said, velo hayu Rasha'im lomar lahem davar. They couldn't say anything. Why not? Who stopped them from saying anything? The truth says, "V'lo yu rasha'im." Why somebody told them, "Don't talk, don't answer back"? Which means it was so. God was in front of them. And Adam Me'iz, the guy can't answer in front of them. It was such an emunav klal Yisrael. It was undeniable. Even the Egyptian, he can't answer. When they went home, they could talk, but not in front of the Jew that's willing to die on a Shabbat, which is Me'id on Briyat Ta'olam, and they're willing to. It was too strong for them. Even the Egyptians felt a little that they shouldn't make the Shulah, but they didn't. That shows you how stubborn they were. By the way, no difference in the times of Avraham Avinu. We didn't get everybody. There were some people like Nimrod that still believed in what he believed in. Even though Avraham Avinu was... Now, of course, the Egyptians would do what Nimrod did. Kill the Jews. Kill them. Yamsuf, they want to kill them. Get rid of them. We can't beat the argument. So we just have to kill them. Now we understand, Rabotai. We started off and asked, why is the Shabbat called Shabbat HaGadol? And we said, because of the Nes Gadol. We said it's not a longer Shabbat than any other Shabbat. And the Tzeva HaLitzeinu on the Shabbat, you should have extra Kavanah. A Shabbat HaGadol V'Kadosh Hazeh. It says in the Birkat HaMazon, a Shabbat HaGadol V'Kadosh Hazeh. You have to have Kavanah, Shabbat HaGadol. Based on what we're saying now, this is the Shabbat of Avraham Avinu alav shalom. This is the Shabbat where the seeds of Avraham that were planted were resurrected. The seeds came back to life. The tree, the etz shatal Avraham Avinu came back. Kim'at kat, and that tree that Avraham Avinu planted would have been destroyed. And when the Navi talks about Avraham, what does the Navi say? The Navi says, Ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anakim. Now she says, who's Adam ha'gadol ba'anakim? Ha'gadol ba'anakim, ze Avraham Avinu. The giant, the gadol. Avraham was called Ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anakim. And therefore we call it Shabbat ha'gadol. It's another way of saying the Shabbat of Avraham Avinu alav shalom. It's the Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat where we went back to the tradition of the Gadol. That's the Gadol of Avraham Avinu. We committed ourselves back to that Ma'aseh Avot. By taking the Sela Bayit, that's a recommitment to Avraham. And that's why, of course, we know that all of the Hagim represent the Avot. Yitzhak is Keneged Shavuot. Because the horns of the Akedah were used at Matan Torah, the blood of the Shofar. Yaakov Avinu, it says, he built Sukkot. And Avraham Avinu is going to get Pesach. Because they say he served the Matzot. But based on what we're saying now, we have a deep understanding of Avraham's Pesach. Because before we could leave Pesach, we had to replant the tree of Avraham. We had to recommit ourselves to the Emunah of Avraham Avinu. So the inyan of Pesach is connected to Abraham. And therefore before Pesach, this is the Shabbat of Avraham Avinu. That's another way of saying Shabbat the Gadol. This is the guest of honor on this Shabbat. Abotai, tenu kavod to Avraham Avinu. He deserves his own Shabbat. You have Shabbat of Shabbat Zachor. You have Shabbat Para. You have Shabbat over here of Shekalim. You have Shabbat Hatan. You have Shabbat Chazon, Shabbat Teshuvah. Avraham Avinu also deserves his own Shabbat. And when does he get it? Right before Pesach. Right before, and that's why we don't celebrate this miracle on the 10th of Nisan. We celebrate it on the Shabbat because it was the Shabbat with the Emunah of Shabbat plus the Mesirut Nefesh that caused the Egyptians to...
So the Shabbat is a big
part. The Shabbat is the whole key of that miracle also, because that's the Ein Adam Me'id of Tei Baal Chovod. The emet of the Shabbat was in front of them, and the emet of the Mesirut Nefesh. Ve'lo ayu reshaim la'azir them. They weren't able to answer. So we have a great Shabbat coming up over here. Shabbat of Avraham Avinu alav shalom. We give him front and center, which he's returned back to the old tradition. Yiratzon. This is a great Rambam. I just had to say it like this.
Wow.
And you gave your children the history of the world like this. This is a perfect, so you don't have to read Agadah after this. This is the whole history of how
Klai Yisrael went and came back. They would get a good understanding of what they're about to do, what's happening over here. And we pray that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he promises. You have a minute? We're reading Parashat Metzora this week, Parashat Tahor. In the Parashat Metzora, it talks about the tzara'at that's on the walls. The old nice guy comes home, you see there's all, I don't know what, stuff on the walls. Of course, he calls the mold specialist. Another industry. Guy comes in, yeah, we have to take off the wall, it's mold, black mold, the spores, it is. We got to do experiments and all that. How can I, let me just Clorox. No, the Clorox doesn't work until it come back. It's going to cost you $1,000 just for the consultation. Okay, they made a whole business out of mold now. Now,
humongous.
Mold, big business.
Big, yeah, but
it's
dangerous.
Okay. So now you call the mold specialist. He looks at the thing. He says, listen, as much as I want to staff you, but this is not mold. We don't know what this is. Maybe call the plumber. Maybe you have a leaky pipe in the wall. Plumber comes, oh yeah, this is behind the wall, there's a pipe probably leaking, it's creating this spot. He goes behind the wall, there's no pipe on that wall, there's no nothing. He goes, I can't help you. You know what? Call the, could be this is just from, the old wall. Call the paint guy, let him paint it up and you'll be okay. They paint it up, next day, boom, the spot's on the wall again. Now the guy's in the rust. He doesn't go to the rabbi first. You never think the rabbi's going to have the answer to this. The rabbi's the last guy you go to. After you went to the plumber and the mold specialist and the painter and you asked around. Now nobody has the answer. You come to the rabbi. Now the rabbi, why don't you come to me first? I would have told you it's Sarah. So you go to the Kohen. The Kohen says, of course, this is the classic Sarah. This is the classic case of Sarah. What do I have to do? Well, the first thing is, before I pronounce that it's Sarah, you gotta get out of the house. Take everything out of the house. They call the demolition department. And what are you doing with this demolition? You gotta knock the house down. And then you have to make the teshuvah. You must be watching too much TV or whatever you're doing. And we gotta redo this house again. And then the Gemara says, when they would knock the house down, they would find treasures behind the walls. Because the Goyim, they used to hid all their money when the Jews came in. They didn't want to put their money. They didn't have mattresses in those days. So where they going to, the fridges, the freezers they didn't have, cold cash. So where are they going to put their money? They put it in the wall. So Hashem made a miracle. The tzara'at would come on the wall. They knocked the wall down and they... The only problem is that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that... Tzara'at ha-bayit lo haya ve-lo nibra. Never happened. Besides the story I just told you, which is a good story, the Gemara says never happened. The Ben Surer Moreh. So the Gemara says, it never happened. Drosh v'kabel sachar. Drosh. You're learning it, you get the reward for learning it, but it never happened. It's hypothetical. So Mefarish says, what do you mean drosh v'kabel sachar? So one Mefarish says, beautiful explanation. If it never happened, how are you going to get the treasures then? You tell me that that's how the Jewish people got the treasures, but it never happened. They say that if you learn it, it's like it happened.
Ah.
So drosh, v'kabel schar. What's the schar? The treasures, which is, oh, you'd learn it all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you hear like something behind the wall. All of a sudden, the wall would fall down or something. Drosh, learn the laws of Nega Abayit. And the schar would come. So the Mefarshim say that there's a deeper interpretation that goes on over here. Rabbi Friedman talks about it this week in his Derash. He says that the Jews, they have a spark inside of them. That the nitzotz of kedusha, that spark can never be extinguished. Just like there's a matmon, there's a treasure behind the wall. That's the physical treasure. There's every Jew inside of him has a spark, and he says that spark actually it emanates from Avraham Avinu alav hashalom. That's why it can never be extinguished. But when Avraham Avinu became the founder of monotheism in his time, that was such a strong foundation that even if a Jew would, lose his way and go to the far ends, but there would always be a nitzotz kedusha that would be, remain. So he also, in his ma'amad this week, called the Shabbat HaGadol after Avraham Avinu. He says, because if it wasn't for that spark that Avraham Avinu established that can never be extinguished in the soul of a Jew, then the Jewish people would never be able to come back. So how could you be almost at the finish line of Avodah Zarah, Kim'at Kat, and all of a sudden you're able to make a turnaround? Because the pilot light was still there. That pilot light that Avraham Avinu was able to establish, that no matter what a Jew goes through, he will never be able to. So therefore, he also says that the Shabbat is the credit, and he compares it to that matmon that was in the walls of the homes. So therefore, drosh, when a person seeks God, when you doresh God, the kabel sachar, the sachar will be that spark that's inside of you will spread and ignite and take over, and that's what happened to Kleisel over here. In Kleisel, in this parasha, they needed a little push. And therefore he says, it's the Shabbat of Avraham Avinu, same concept. Because if it wasn't for Avraham that Yesod, we would not have the same ability. And that's why in Leil Seder, we say, Mitehilah of the Avodah Zarah, we have to point that out to them. Avraham, Avad, Imaim. And then at that point, you have to tell them how we made it. And then you have to tell the kids, and we don't follow majority. Because the masses are doing something means nothing. You tell the story of Baal Shem and Michelstab. Rov is only to answer up a safek. Rov is when you're in doubt, not when you know. And that's why Avraham Avinu had the confidence to jump into a fire, because it doesn't going to change it. For the truth, you'll jump into a fire. Okay, we'll stop there.